we're going to be in First and Second Timothy today. So we're going to go in that direction this morning. And we know that right now that everything seems to be all over the place in the world. I know that some of us are concerned about gas prices. Some of us are concerned about the war in Ukraine. Others are concerned about what's going on in the political world. Others are concerned about what's going on in the educational world. Others are concerned about what's going on with gun control. Others are concerned about what's going on with health care. And it continues to go on and on and on. Some of us are concerned of what's going on in the Baptist world. Some of us are concerned of what's going on in that area. Some people claiming justice and things of that sort, and racism and all those things that the Baptist is trying to wrestle through right now. But today I want to share with you about some things that Paul has written to Timothy. And if he wrote them to Timothy so many years ago, 2,000 years ago plus, then it is important for us even more that we take heed to what Paul was talking to Timothy about. In Timothy chapter 4, we see that there's a demonic influence that's happening in the world then, and it's a demonic influence that's going to happen in the future. And it is happening right now. When you become a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you become a believer, you confess that you are a sinner, that you need Christ into your life. You have that moment. It's an undeniable moment that Christ and you had an interaction, that Christ is a part of your life now. Not because, it's because you know that it's real. You know and you have it because that stamp of approval is that you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? That you have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that resides into you. Okay? That resides into you. That gives you understanding of things that the world doesn't understand. Doesn't make you better. It just makes you more spiritually discerning and understanding. Lost people do not understand the Word of God. Christians, believers are supposed to understand the Word of God, but we struggle with it, so we continue to read it as God's Word says. And we'll talk about that maybe here in just a little bit. But God's Word is for us. God speaks, as you've heard me say, that when you pray, you're talking to God. And when you read God's Word, He's talking to you. He's telling you what happened in the future. He's talking to you about the promises of the future. He's sharing with you, and just like He shares with us. So sometimes the answers and things we're looking for are in God's Word. He'll speak to you, and He'll open that up to you through the Holy Spirit. But when we don't read God's Word, sometimes we're shutting God out. This is scriptures that we're reading today that some people don't like to talk about, or they get so much into it that's all they talk about. But today we're going to talk about the demonic influences happening in the world. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, "Now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." We're seeing that today, that most churches are going in reverse. They are declining, which means the hearers are declining, worshipers are declining. I want to tell you, it says Let me start over. "Now the Spirit explicitly says in the latter times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared." What we're finding today, people are actually trying to gravitate to another gospel. It is another gospel. Galatians chapter 1, I'll share a lot with you about there is no really other gospel that's real. There is only one gospel, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul is talking to them also, who has sidetracked you, got you off onto another gospel, which is no gospel at all. But the theme still continues to go on, that the demonic are at work to try and working through people, to get believers, to get people who are seeking what truth is. They're trying to figure out where they are spiritually. They're hanging around churches. They're trying to figure out what's real. They're trying to find this moment with God. They're unsure of things. And these are the people, many of these people are the ones that are being sidetracked. So these teachings, that's why we're here. We teach out of God's Word. We're going to continue to teach out of God's Word. We're not going to teach prosperity. We're not doing that. I think I got enough when I got Jesus. How about you? Yeah? And I read his word, it tells me that I'm already prosperous. If I need help, I can call on him. I don't need to give 50 to get 100. I don't do that. I'm not going to preach that. That's not what it's about. But here we find that there's teachings of demons, and it goes against God's word. And people will get up in the pulpit and places, and they become stages. And we call this kind of a stage. You got to call it something. But there's a difference. It almost becomes like a rock stage moment where there's fog and there's lights. And I have no problem with lights. I have no problems with that. There are times when you want to make the room intimate. You're going through some things. We kind of do that during our candlelight service, and that's okay. I'm okay with those things. I've learned not to pick on. I've learned to pick my battles as I've gotten older. But what I want to say is the main piece is they're coming out and they're using maybe just a couple. They're maybe using scripture. Most of them, when I watch them online, if I want to check them out, they don't even have a. They may have a Bible on a stand, but they never go to it. They're never going to it. They're going to hype the crowd up to what they want to hear. We're going to talk about that as well here a little bit. But they're going to teach something. And their consciences are seared. Here's what it means. They think they're doing right. People think that they're doing right. They think that what God wants is a crowd. What God wants is a concert. What God wants is not a concert of loud music and roaring fists and swinging of arms. What God wants is a concert of love and a concert of a loving spirit and a concert of prayer and a concert of true worship. There's nothing wrong with concerts going to God. I was in a Southern Gospel concert last night. I enjoyed it. There's nothing wrong with those things. But what happens is this becomes the norm every week. So people are looking for an emotional high when they're not looking to get right with Christ. They're just looking for an emotional high. We have to be careful. You have to be careful what you're listening to. You have to be careful who you're watching on TV. Majority of the preachings on TV are not good. I'm just telling you, they're not good. There are some great quality ones, but a lot of them are not good. Listen, if they are not reading from the scriptures, they are not telling you what the scriptures mean, I would be diverting my channel to the next one. Does that make sense? Because what's it say? Now the Spirit explicitly says in latter times, some will depart from the faith. So so they're moving on. So what they're doing is people are leaving the faith. People are walking away from the faith for all kinds of reasons. But we know that this demonic is in play. And he's in play because he has a motive. And that is to draw people away from Christ. But Christ is drawing people to himself. So there is a battle that goes on in the world today. And Satan will use all the lights and all the glamour of it and all the loud music and all the emotional effects to draw people away from God. God does it this way. He uses truth. He convicts your heart when you're not living the way that you're supposed to be for the believer. He convicts your heart when you are not a believer. He'll convict your heart and try to say, listen, you need to come to me. You need salvation. So there is a battle that continues to go on and on. And I'm going to tell you, I truly believe that and in the houses of worship, God's angels are always in the midst. I truly believe that. I truly believe that even if our eyes were open today, we would see one, two, maybe five. I don't know. Because I know the scripture says that angels are ministering to the believers. And we are a group of believers today here. I believe that, you know what, if we are called to worship, and we know in Scripture, Old Testament, we see that angels are worshiping in Isaiah chapter 6. We see some amazing things. And if today is our Sabbath, we are worshiping, do you not think that they're just going to be moving around doing stuff? You think that they've been called to worship on the Sabbath as well? You think they want to worship with us today? They're worshiping with us today. They're worshiping wherever they've been assigned to today. But also, the demonic has also been assigned by Satan to do other things, to pull people away from the worship, pull people away from God's word. I can just stay at home and watch it on TV, or I can watch the message on the screen. I get when you're sick, yeah, that's what you got to do. But if that's going to be your whole play, I've seen men and women, even from this church, who stopped coming, thinking that they got their life right. We pray at home, we do this, but listen, one, I guarantee you, you're not using the spiritual gift that God's given to you. You use it for the strengthening, encouraging of the brothers and sisters in the church. You use it together. Amen? Basically, when people just say, I'm going to stay home and worship, and there are those that are elderly that can't do that, but when you choose to do it and you have the opportunity to go out and worship, but you won't do it, and you choose to stay home, I would say probably, here it is, you are fading away. But those who are homebound, their heart is hungry. They want to come, but they can't physically come. There's the difference. But it says explicitly, the Spirit says, that's going to be a falling away. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Dig into your faith. This is where it says, work out your salvation. Dig down into your faith in Christ. Now I want you to go to 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy is the second letter. And it kind of goes in the same area, but it gets a little bit more, gets a little more detailed in chapter 3, in verse 1. It says, but know this, difficult times will come in the last days. And it has a list. For the people will be lovers of self. We've never seen a generation so self-centered as we have today. People love to get that phone out. Click. I look good. It's about me. What you going to give me? What you going to get me? Where's mine? Okay? That's called that's lovers of self. But God's called us to love people. But in the last, we'll have this great generation of people that will love themselves over anything else. Doesn't mean you have to take care of yourself. But we are called to love others. But also lovers of money. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. And blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. There's more sin that children do today. It's amazing. There's so many. Carl was just talking about that. Children murdering their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of money. That big old list, but here's the thing, it finishes it with this. Holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. And it says, avoid those people. So it says, holding to the form of godliness. So they're saying that they are believers and Christians, but they're doing all this other stuff. Now we know that Christians are going to mess up. We know we're going to sin. But the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of the things that you've done that God wants you to take care of, to straighten up, to walk away from, to seek forgiveness and repent means to turn away and turn away from that. So God wants you to do that. But holding on to the form of godliness means they're using a cross around their neck and it's really just some jewelry. They're using it when they want to use it as an advantage for themselves. So they'll take the image, they'll take those things that we hold precious to us, but they'll deny the power. When people are, especially famous people, it says, oh, I see. When they ask, what is your belief? What do you believe in? And they will dance around it because they've been, oh, you're a Christian. And and they will dance around it. And even some of the preachers I've heard, even in interviews, cannot really give an answer on how a person receives salvation. Because they're only putting on a costume. And they can fool everyone, but they cannot fool God. Even right now, there are so many. Every time I open up my phone and I flip through the news, and some of you are more on sports, that's cool. Some of you more on whatever, but I have some that filtered into the pastor's world and the different, you know, different denomination world, whatever. And it is being flooded with pastors who have been exposed for their sexual sins. Some of them have been doing it for years, and so it's a sad thing. And God will reveal those things. So pastors are even judged even more harder than people. So when it's exposed, it's big. It's big time. And we see that there is a misuse of power. Sometimes in churches, there's a misuse of all kinds of things. And God will reveal those things. So what we have is because of those things are happening, and the things are, unfortunately, sin is going to happen, the world starts pointing fingers. And sometimes people don't want to become a Christian because they see how you live as a Christian. And they see no difference than how they live. They just see that you put on a costume and you are fake and not real. And this is really going out. It's almost like we're seeing today that a lot of churches are going down. We're blessed. Our congregation, you can't tell today, our congregation is actually growing. But the majority of churches are actually declining. And what's happening is a lot of those people have fell out and they're not coming back because they really didn't have that strong belief in Christ. But there's others have had a strong belief in Christ and they're running out as a prodigal son, living into some of these things that we just mentioned, and we're called to love them through that. So it's a hard piece to watch as we see difficult times are coming today. You know, America has more money. I mean, you can give a ball player $90 million, $3 million for a small contractor. It's ridiculous. And we put athletes up on a podium, and we worship them because people know their stats. Christians know more of their stats of their favorite football team than five verses in the Bible. People worship athletes. But not just athletes. People worship movie stars because they think they've arrived. Let me tell you, it is temporal. It is only a moment. You know how many football players are living? It's amazing. I'm not going to mention the name, but I was reading up. It's like, man, this guy has a big name all those years, and now he's living off of has no money, and he's living off of the football retirement fund, the bare minimum. Movie stars can spend all their money and end up bankrupt, have nothing. Because it's all temporal. It's all for a moment. I'm gonna date myself. I will say one name. I'm gonna date myself. You remember the Partridge Family? The David Keith, I think it was. Yeah, Cassidy, whatever his name was. He said, "What was your most high moment of your life?" He said, "Playing in front of Madison Square Garden." And I thought that concert lasted about an hour and a half. Whoop, whoop. Died of alcoholism. Broke. But my highlight was the Madison Square Garden. Maybe winning the PGA was my highlight. Maybe graduating from Harvard was my highlight. My highlight is coming to know Jesus Christ. Then my next highlight was when I prayed, wow, God answered. That's a highlight. Another highlight is when, oh my gosh, God called me to preach. That wasn't a highlight, but then later on I found out it was a highlight. And then building, just see, coming from a small little house into this little storefront and watching all this, the highlight after highlight after highlight after highlight. And guess what? It's not temporal, because it's about God and it's about what he's done through people. That people will come to Christ through the ministering of this place. That the highlight is eternal. The highlights are eternal. Not just a moment with the world putting the spotlight on you for just an hour and a half saying, "Woo, you are awesome." And I will tell you this. The more people tell you how awesome you are, you might get to the place. You're probably going to get to the place where you think, "Ooh, I am awesome." And then your downhill begins. When you think you are all that because the world thinks you're that, you're on your way down. That's why you don't praise me. You praise the Lord. I'm replaceable. I'm replaceable. Let me give you a little news too. I'm sorry, but so are you. And unfortunately, in the sad sense, kind of this church is replaced. If God wants to replace this church, he'll do it. But the cool part of it is what you've done in the Lord is eternal. But in the latter times, there's difficult times going to come in the last days. And we can't get sidetracked looking at the limelight thinking, "Oh, this is, we got to go in this direction. We got to make adjustments because we need to do this." No, we need to put God in the center. This is all about putting God back in the center. When you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, it'll keep your eyes off the other junk. When you put your eyes on the junk, you take your eyes off Jesus. So you know this for a fact. If you're a believer, you know this. It goes better when you walk with Jesus and let Jesus lead and keep your eyes on him than it does when you do your own thing. Because when you do your own thing, you screw it up. We mess it up. And a lot of us have messed it up. But he continues to go on. And he says this part here. In verse 12, "In fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And that doesn't mean that you're going to be put to death for what you believe. In America, it can be just if you're just sitting down at McDonald's and you pray every your meal, which I'm going to, and because this basically it's just it's a witness that I'm a believer. And it also encourages other believers, because I know that other people are sitting over. And I've actually got up and went over to a couple of people. "Hey, I really appreciate that. Oh, what? I'm so-and-so. I don't even have to tell them I am. I was just like, you guys praying today was a great, great witness." You don't even think, "Oh." And I remember doing it for a couple that was in like AW root beer place or whatever. And they were like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah." I said, "You keep doing that. You keep teaching your kids that." Because there's more Christians out here, but a lot of them are just afraid to pray in public. Pray in public. Do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Amen? But here we find out, it says, it's people will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we find out that even those that are not doing the right thing are even going to get worse. And we see that. And sometimes you think in politics, how in the world? Because politics is big news. Is big news. You know why it's big news? It's because this country is completely divided. It was divided before the Civil War. People thought end times were coming. I'm sure people thought the end times were coming when World War I came off. The first time the whole world was going to go to war. It's like, wow, that was devastating. And then World War II. And the bombs that dropped over in Japan and all that. People were like scared. Next thing we know, that passes. Then we go into a time of feast, and the country's doing great. And we go into a time of famine. Here it is. People will keep saying, "Oh, it's not coming. It's not coming." Listen, it will come. And if it doesn't come in your lifetime, the fact is you're going to die anyway. So you need to be prepared for standing before God in your own life. But people will become worse. And being deceived and deceiving others. But this is what the scripture tells us in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. What is that saying? All scripture. Keep going back to scripture. God speaks from his word. keep them. When people tell you something and you're not sure, go to the Scriptures. If I preach something up here and you're like, what's that? Go to the Scriptures, and if I'm wrong, come up and tell me. Okay? Come up and tell me. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. What it's telling me is this book is what I need every day in my life. And listen, some people say, I don't know how to read. I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Because the more you read it, you'll start getting pieces of it. And you may not be the person who catches it and you're like, I don't understand what that word irrevocable means. I don't understand what redemption means. I don't understand what sanctification means. It's okay. Just keep reading it. And God will find a place in there as you read it. He'll say, he'll stop you and he'll speak to you through that word. That's what's so awesome about God's word. He'll stop you. And some of you, just read it. Just read it. He says, so he's talking to Timothy, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good works. Here it is. What does it say? For every good works. So the difficult times are going to come. Demonic spirits are going to come and influence the world. People are going to live selfishly. But he says, for every good work. This is where we're getting ready to move into a different section. Although all this is happening, God still says, keep going. We don't go find a cabin in the woods in Alaska, buy 5 acres or 100 acres and say, I got my world. Sometimes, does that sound good though? Sometimes, does that sound good? I'm on a lake. I gotta go hunting. I don't need the world. I just want to go and escape from all this stuff. I don't want an electric bill anymore. I don't want any of that. I'm going to escape. God says, no, you're not. I put you here, I saved you to serve me. To get out there and to share the gospel. To use the gift of hospitality. For you that got it and love to open up your homes and you just love people in your homes. Other people are like, ain't no, I don't want nobody in my house. The people that want people in their homes and always just the doors wide open, listen, those people have the gift of hospitality, whether they know it or not. And God is using them, but it doesn't mean that that's for you. Not everybody does that. But we're not called to hibernate and become a hobbit and run out there and hide. Although sometimes it sounds good. He says, you're equipped for every good work. And then he goes into this chapter 4. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead. Always reminding us that there is a greater presence than we. That is God. Okay? It says, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, proclaim the message, persist in it whether it's convenient or not, in season or out of season, rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. But according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. Let me tell you, the only way that one comes to Christ is through Christ. The only one that comes part of the family of God is through Christ. But then people will change and say, yeah, I believe in that, but I also think of this, this, and that. No, salvation is pretty simple when you come down to it. It's simple, but it's hard for people to do. But also, people begin to change the doctrine. They'll want to change doctrine. I've heard all kinds of weird pieces that people have brought up and brought up to me. And you know, the little warning lights start popping up. That's not what I read. That's not what I know. I've not heard that. How do I know it's not what I know or I've not heard of that? Because reading the Scriptures reminds you that that's not, because the Scriptures tells you what's truth. Okay? Alright? So, the time's going to come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Why? Because people don't like conviction. People don't want to be told they're wrong. We are becoming a society today that we do not like to say we're wrong. Even when you have a family dispute, you have a marriage dispute, you don't have I won't estimate, but a lot of us do not know how to say, I'm sorry. We don't even know how to say that. because we're selfish. It's about me, and we have a hard time apologizing. We have a hard time looking at it. God, is there something in me that's not making this right? Is there something in this relationship? God, is there something with me? Is there something with me? No, because we're too busy going zoom, 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 zoom. And that's fallen in to a different doctrine. Okay? So we got to remember that there is, people are changing doctrine. And when I say people are changing doctrine, this is why we have, you know, I think God's, you know, God has all these, we have all these different denominations. And you can take Lutheran, you can take Methodist, you can take Baptist, you can take Pentecostal, you can take the AGs, Assemblies of God, and they will all say that Jesus is the way. But some of them are starting to shift in some other ways of doctrine, saying that, oh, you can do this, it's okay. You can do this, and it's okay. And you know what that, when they say, when they want to make a shift? I can't find it in here. But they want to make a shift from here, not from here. And when you make a shift from here, unfortunately, I hope that you're not like this. I think our church is stronger than that. If I told you to go run off and jump off a bridge, there are men in the pulpit that will say that, and people will do that. They follow this. They follow this guy more than they do this. And when you follow, if you follow me more than you follow the Word, it's no good. But Paul does say, follow my example. So Paul puts himself, there are scriptures there, so I should be able to say, follow my example. But when I go against this, you don't follow. Don't follow me if I'm not following this. Okay? If I'm telling you that, oh, it's okay to go out and do this X, Y, and Z, but God's Word says, no, don't do that. But I'm saying, it's okay because God loves you and you're going to be okay. And we're going to, you know, it's okay. Times have changed. And it's okay to do those things. And, you know, so it's okay. It's okay. God loves you. I would be endorsing something that is not from God's Word. Someone will go out and do it. And guess who? They guess that, oh, that's not going to be on me. But they're still not without excuse. They should have went here. Go here. There are complicated things that people come to pastors for. I don't always have an answer. I will tell you, people, well, there's some complicated things. But what do? I go to what God's Word says. We pray about it. We ask, and shall be given. We seek an answer through the Word. And He says, when you seek, He says, you shall find. And if you knock, the Scripture says, if you knock, You keep knocking on the right door. That's God's door, His Word. He'll answer. The door will be opened. But if you get discouraged or you get impatient and listen, if you want to say that the sky, if you want to say it's okay, if you want to say it's okay to sing secular songs on a Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you no. But if you look enough, you'll find somebody that'll say, come on. And then they'll say, that's the greatest church. Why? Because I'm getting what I want. But let me remind you, we used to ask people to go, what do you go to church? Don't listen to that. Don't ask that question because, you know, Satan has a church too. New Age has a church too. We got to get back to using the name of Jesus. Amen. So, he says, proclaim the message. He says, Paul says, Timothy, proclaim the message. Persist in it whether it's convenient or not. And then he goes down, he says, and for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves. They'll build up teachers for themselves. Man, I could just mention some things that are going on out there in the churches today, and it's almost like a rock concert. What did Jesus say? He said, my house should be a house of prayer. And do we need to do that even more here? Yeah. He says, so they want to hear something new, okay? You notice that when you watch, if you watch any late night, I don't watch a lot, but I've caught them on like a YouTube piece, like late night shows and stuff, and they'll bring a preacher on, it's always one that's going into something new. It's always one of the preachers that are going into something new, itchy ear stuff, not the doctrine that that's twisted. Because the world doesn't want to hear the truth. They want the show. They want the football show. They want the ball game show. They want the movie show. We all get entertained by that. That's okay, but it's America is many times is their God. It says in verse 4, it says, they will turn away from hearing the truth. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. This is why I'm very cautious of people that jump around to other churches and come to New Life. A lot of them want to talk to me after service and want to bring me some weird stuff. And I've heard a lot of it. Or they come up and said, hey, can I lay hands on your church? No, you cannot. Can I come up here and testify tonight? I'm sorry, sir. I don't know you yet. I don't know what you're going to say. You need to come a while. Why? Because as a pastor, I'm supposed to be protective of the sheep. You guys are supposed to protect as well. So we got to be cautious who we allow even to speak in things, because there has been some darkness that have come into our church trying to share things and done it with our youth, tried to do that. And I had to intervene and hurt people's feelings, but you got to do what you got to do because the stuff that was put out was not healthy. There's also individuals doing other things since all the way down from the storefront church. An individual came up and gave me some stuff. And I'm like, this is not good. And I prayed, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. If this man is not a godly man, get him out of here. Within 2 weeks, he was gone. But then I heard through the grapevine he was at another church doing the same thing. And that pastor, we talked, and he said, this guy is causing me problems. I said, you need to cut the string. I prayed God would remove him if he wasn't right. I was still trying to figure it out. People will do that. They'll go around. But he says this, but as for you, now he says, as for you, we talked a lot about all the other people, but as for you, as for you, be serious about everything. When I come to church, I'm serious. Sometimes I need to smile a little bit more. Sometimes your smile makes me smile. Yeah. So, Kelly makes me smile. When I see her smile, she makes me smile. If I'm having a bad morning, I see Valerie. Valerie is just this automatic robot smile all the time. Makes me smile. But some of you other people smile, and it makes me smile. I need to smile more. But we do need to be serious about everything. Everything we need to be serious about. We need to endure the hardship, which means if it gets tough, right, we come up and say, hey, we need to make an adjustment here. We don't just throw in the tools and run away. But we've had that. Hardship comes. And if you have hardship in this ministry, I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of hardship in this ministry. There's so many times that something hard come up and I could have just said, you know what? I just want to be done. But it's part of it. Because there's demonic work. You're working in this physical world, but you're also working in the spiritual world. It's so weird, but it is. And so you have to endure the hardship. Not just me, but you too. Sometimes I may say something to you like that song, we need to take that song away, or we need to work on this, or hey, what you said in the life group class wasn't legit, it wasn't good, we need to work on that, maybe you need to learn how to, and people go, and people take it to offense. Listen, it's okay. Let's grow some rhino skin here, right? It's tough. Ministry is hard. It is hard. It is hard. I spoke in front of our state convention in Fort Wayne, and the place was packed, and I said something that I shouldn't have said, I guess. And after I was sitting here talking about what we do here, and this was filled with, this is probably one of the most packed state conventions we've been to. And it was standing room only. It was full. And I had this moment to speak. They never told me there was a red light and a green light. Green light means you keep talking. Red light means you stop. And I didn't get in trouble for that. I did go over 15 minutes though. But I said, I'm probably the most ignorant person in the room because you men have bachelor's, master's, and doctor's degree. I'm probably the most ignorant person in the room. And I began to share. And at the very end, I saw this. I was like, oh my, what did I do? So when I was done, I was like, oh, so it was the head honcho for our state, the boss, the leader. Pulled me over and he says, don't you ever say that again. I was like, what? What did I say? I didn't know what I said. I thought I said something unbiblical. I was beginning to stress because this is going to be a one and done. I'm going to be shunned off to the side. But it wasn't that. He said, don't you ever say you're the most uneducated person. God can take the dumbest person and put them over the top of the most smartest people. Never, ever say you're nothing. And never say you're nothing. I said, yes, sir. Yeah, doc, I won't do that again. So I learned a lesson there, that endure the hardship. If he pulls me off to the side and corrects me, and he did it in love, but he was stern. He did it in love, and it was good. And his wife sat there and said, she's just acknowledging it as well. There was a couple other people, so he's kind of getting me in front of a small crowd. But, you know, here it is. I took it. And I could have got angry about it. Could have went, what? No, I took it as a learning tool. I took it as, I'm not going to do that again. I'm gonna take that advice because I believe it was godly advice. And although I didn't like it at the moment, I'm gonna walk in confidence that I learned today. That sometimes God does go, hey, don't do that. But our church, some of us here are very, we get hurt so easy. And I know some of our, we're set like that, we're built like that, we get hurt easy. I know I've hurt people's feelings, I don't mean to. Because sometimes I have a bad day and I go, whoom, like a bulldozer. And I don't want to be like that. But we got to be able to endure the hardships. Because ministry is hard. Church is hard if you're doing it right. Do the work of the evangelist. Do the work of the evangelist. What he's saying is this, you got to share the gospel. Everything we do, we got to share the gospel. But then he says this, fulfill your ministry. Although times are getting tough, we're coming to the end times, whatever it is, end time in my own life, end time in your life, or the end times, but we see things in our country that is not good. And I don't even have to talk about politics. I'm just saying, not good. Right? God still says, fulfill your ministry. You keep fulfilling your ministry. You don't run away because it got hard. Listen, when our finances are rough and tough, in the ministries, you know where I find myself? Right over here. I pray out in the car. I pray wherever. I can't get it off my chest. But you know what? Sometimes God allows it. Why? Because those are the most intimate times I have with Him when there's a great need. There's a great need and the pressure and the stress of it. It's okay because He once again shows Himself in a mighty, awesome way that it is all His. Fulfill the ministry. And then we close with this. For I am already being poured out. He says, you know, my time's coming to an end as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. Paul is saying, my time is coming. My time is coming. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. He sees the finish line. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness. It's that reward that God gives, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing, which means I'm not embarrassed. I'm glad God is coming. Christ is coming. I have salvation. I'm looking forward to it. Listen, when you're young and you got plans and you got your family and you want to enjoy, as Scripture says, enjoy your wife and your youth and all those kind of things. Yeah, that's great. That's great. But always keep it in the back of your mind that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And one day, because I have my life with Christ, there's a crown of righteousness. When I cross the finish line, my race will be done. And I want to hear Him say, and you do too, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Been waiting for you. But in the meantime, we got to run our race. Even though the darkness seems like it's getting heavier, and folks, it looks like it's getting heavier. Inflation's rising up. Carlin went to the store and spent, what, $150, $175? Like, what'd you get? I looked in the fridge, there was nothing there. It's not just my house, it's yours too, right? Put $40 in a tank. What? I didn't even get 3/4 of a take. Listen, we don't stress like the world does. Because we know who has us. You know, we're all over the place. This is what's amazing with the Lord. My money is stretching better than those in the world, and so is yours. If you're walking with God, your money will stretch. This is a miraculous thing that God does. You got a car breakdown, you don't stress over it. You might go, I don't want to buy $300 worth of tires. I don't want to have to do this over. I don't want to have to get a radiator or whatever. But you know what? And you look and you go, I'm going to give that to God. I'm going to pay for it. I don't want to dig in my little savings, or I don't want to have to pay for it. But you do it. And you're not out there stressing as much as the rest of the world. Why? Because you have this peace inside of you. Because you have this go-to. And that go-to is Jesus Christ. And just conversations with Him just takes a lot of load off, doesn't it? Amen? So difficult times are coming. They're already here. They're saying this is the new norm. I hate those new terminology. The new norm, COVID, all that. But you know what? It is a part of life today. But there will be a new norm down the road. And that word will go away and there will be a new norm. But the gospel will remain the same. The gospel will remain the same. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be the truth and the light. What? God is still got us in the palm of His hands. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, we thank You for an opportunity right now that we have heard that things can be dark around us, Lord, but You, Your Holy Spirit, is the light that resonates into our life that gives us hope, even in a dark time as now. Lord, Your Spirit gives us direction, gives us a peace, even through darkness right now. Father, I pray as we take this time of opportunity to respond to whatever You'd have for us, that whoever comes would all have the same one piece in common. I'm going to talk to Jesus about this. And whatever it may be, may we be faithful and turn it over to You today. In Jesus' name, amen.